like to talk a little bit about details. You ever hear the expression that the devil's in the details? It's a expression that means it looks good. For all practical purposes, it's what we'd all want. But how are we going to get there? What's it going to cost us? There's politicians that like to make promises. I heard recently of a promise one of them made. And it was a promise that probably everybody would want. And it sounded real good. But then there was the question, how are you going to get there? How are you going to pay for it? Some of the analysts look at it and said that it would cost a measly $32 trillion in the next 10 years to pay for it. Well, the devil was in the details. You can't get there from here. But it sounds good. Details is the is dealing with the small parts, or the minute parts, the things that's usually overlooked about things. A lot of times, the important things that makes a mechanism work. But you can look at the exterior of a thing and it looked pretty good. But it's not till you get into the details to whether or not it's any, it's really any account or not. A few years ago, I was in the market for a pickup truck, and so I saw this real pretty little Toyota truck, real shiny, pretty little Toyota truck that was there, and that naturally was better than the one that didn't look good, right? But that, knowing what I know about things is that image only goes so far. I mean, you could take your pretty little truck to town and have it towed down there and set it in it all day with the window rolled down, but really if you can't drive it, it doesn't do you much good. That's a pretty important detail, and I find that God is a God of details. Well, I went to get this truck and looking at it, and I started looking under it and looking it over, and I found out that it looked as good underneath as it looked on the outside of it. Went and talked to the guy, I want to drive it, and I drove it, and it drove as well as it looked, and the guy told me, I said, not snowing you at all. He said, this truck is as good inside as it is out. Here's the details of it. It's got 67,000 original miles on it. This is what, all this stuff, and I was pretty impressed then. Because I know better than just taking the exterior for it. Pretty paint jobs don't make very good things. But everybody wants pretty paint jobs, of course. But when we start looking into the details of matters, it's important. I find that God is a God of details. I think salvation is a salvation of details. I think it has to do with the small parts of things. I find that relationships, our relationships, has to do with details. You can either make it, or you can ruin it by the details, by the little things. So I want to explore it a little bit today. The idea of details. So I got a scripture I want to look at. It's over in 2 Timothy. I'll start with the first verse of the third chapter. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, that sounds like a fairly detailed description of hideous people, of terrible living. It is. It's terrible. It also is a detailed description of what the last days are like. tell us so we can recognize all of that. And we would want, hopefully, which is what we would think or want, I wouldn't want that to be our description. I wouldn't want that to be our details at all. None of those things is anything that I'd want detailed about my life or yours. But it's pretty amazing here that he follows that by this expression, having a form of godliness. Well, what does that supposed to mean? You mean within this reading that you come and say that there's going to be some kind of a religious notion? Or that religion can be involved in such a list of details like that? The truth of it is that the form of religion is the easy part of it. It's something you get something from. A form is only that. It's just a form of things. I want you to take you through a mental exercise here today. If you've seen these kind of things, maybe I can describe it this way. If there was a big, maybe a sheet or a some kind of a mildly transparent something here, and there was a light shining on it just right that it would show my silhouette on it to you all. Do you think if I walked up here that you all, most of you, I mean those that know me, if I walked up here behind that without you seeing me, would you be able to say, that's Brother Marty? You think so? What about Brother Carl? If Brother Carl walks up here, would you say, I'd know that guy anywhere? I could say that about, I believe that I would be 100% accurate with the ones that I know well. Brother Brandon, I know you'd walk up here. I know who you are behind there. Brother Ed, no way you could get by with it. I know who you are just by that. But I wouldn't be able to know the details of what you were wearing. Or that I would just know the form of something. That's kind of what this expression is that in the last day there would be the people that had a form of godliness. But just a form. I think one of the most dangerous things to us is this being able to relax into a form. A form of religion, a form of godliness that we can have without really working with the details that make it what it is. Salvation is a salvation of details. God made it detailed. It is God. It takes something. The Scripture says of this form of godliness, only a form, that they denying the power thereof, of such turn away. But of those people, it said that they denied the power that was there to do what it was supposed to do. Denying the power thereof, the power of righteousness. The power, you know, that to be honest with you, I recognize this in my own life. I'm not capable of it. The whole idea of salvation is a divine work. How can you have the divine work? We expect the divinity in it. Salvation today, folks, is a divine work in your heart. If that divine work don't happen, it's a form, and that's all that it can be. Because it takes a divine power for the detailing of it. In other words, the Scripture says to us to love our enemies. I'll challenge you with that without divine help. Is it natural that you could cause me pain and hurt me and my response back would be to love you and value you? Would you think that would be the natural response of anybody to do that? I would say no. It would be to defend, to resist, to even strike back. The vengeance would be the natural part of it. But there is a power, Lord help us, because there is a power that's there for the detailing of our lives. And as we reach out to the world, our desire to spread the gospel, spread the things of God, you'll only spread what you have. You can only spread a form if the form's all you have. I want to do another illustration. And listen, this is supposed to be a circle. The definition of that would be that every point on the line is an equal distance from the center. But oh well, that's as best I can do. Now, I mean to illustrate something by that to you and give you something from that. Do you know what that is? Come on, we've got to use our imaginations here. But what is it? It's round. Well, nobody's coming up with it, so I'm going to put a little detail. See if you can get it then. Oh, it didn't take much on that one, did it? I aimed it. But if I hadn't put some detail in there, I could have tried to give that out. Somebody would have ended up saying it, probably. But it wouldn't have been easy to get through. Do you know if we spread Christianity, you've got to have it. Oh, you can't spread it. If we're claiming to spread Christ to the world and all we have is a form of godliness, and a form of godliness takes this, folks, and you all know I'm very much for promoting people that worship the Lord, go to service, be a part, do all that, do it all the time. It's my job as a minister. So I do it all the time. But I don't want us to think that that's salvation. Or that is really what's going to draw people. There's mega churches everywhere that can't do it that way. They have to have some kind of fleshly thing to do it. But if we're going to draw people to Christ, they're going to have to be the details of Christ there. You're going to have some detail in your life of what it is. Now, we'll go through the second illustration. What's this here? What? Well, it's a circle. No, it's more than that. There's something to it. Well, I don't know. Let's try this. You guys probably won't get it, but let's try this. A pumpkin. Now, what did he say a pumpkin to start with? Well, that's what I meant. That's what I was trying to convey. If you can't get it, folks, get it. You know? I mean, get it. That's what I was trying to say. Well, you don't get it because you can't get it. You can't know. So, I mean, we can go on. Do all kinds of things. We'll make a satsuma out of that. Well, it's a poor satsuma, but you couldn't get it in this. What about the fourth one? What do you think that is? I'll see this. No, it's no apple. What is that? That's actually a bicycle wheel, but it only has three spokes. Now, I wanted to use it for a reason. You know why you wouldn't have said that it was a bicycle wheel? There wasn't enough detail for you to say that. Because three spokes don't usually make a bicycle wheel. If I had put enough spokes and put enough definition, you all would have said, that looks like a bicycle wheel. But the point's still the same. The Lord is a God of details. Salvation is a salvation of details. He comes and works in our lives and makes us functional through the details of our life, through the small parts of the things that He does in our lives. He wants to work in our lives, and He wants to put the details into our lives, and the details is what He is. That's what He brings to us, the things that He are, and if He deals in our life, He wants to bring those details into our life, because really, the Lord wants us to know how to get along with one another. But that's going to take patience, a detail. It's going to take patience. It is going to take... Some people naturally click with one another. Other people... some people don't just click with one another. And because of that, we need to be long-suffering. With that understanding details. Understanding that I'm not you, Brother Dan. I'm not you. We get along wonderful as far as I know. I have for years. I love Brother Dan. But we're not the same people. We don't think the same. No doubt if we was with each other every day, we've never been. But if we have, probably we would probably grate on one another some way or somehow after a while. What are you going to... Well, we just stay away. Well, that's one option. But the Lord wants to work in our lives the graces that He has so that we can be able to work together with one another. And sometimes it's long patience. Sometimes it's endurance. Sometimes it's things. But the Lord had all of these qualities about Him. And if you and I don't get those qualities, and all we ever get, do you know there's more than there is people that deny the power thereof. They believe, most of the modern Christian world believe that there is no higher life than this sinning all the time. That's their doctrine. It's absolutely ridiculous to look at the Scriptures honestly and conclude that. But that's their doctrine, and they deny the power that would keep them from sin, that would keep them from the bad things in their life. There's no overcoming power in that. But you know there's other ways of denying it? Because most of us wouldn't deny it, that the power's there. But you can deny the power by not embracing it. You can deny the power by not allowing it to work in your life and ever get these qualities to you. It's denying the power that wants to work in your life. God wants us to have these elements in our life, and He wants us to overcome the things of our life, and He's got the power to do it. God can detail us out. And when you look and say, somebody looks and says, "Who is?" It's just a form. It's a form. That is a religious man. He's religious. What is he? He's religious. Nothing to promote that. But you know, when it becomes detailed out, you start looking and saying, there is something different. I saw a little bit of Jesus there. There's something that's different. Maybe they can't say what it is, but it's going to show out as something different. Something detailed out. Not just the form of the matter. So Lord, help us today to allow the Lord to work in our lives and for us to take advantage of the power thereof. And not be, because I really believe that one of our greatest dangers individually, which, if you say it individually, I have to say that it could affect all the church. But individually, is that we allow ourselves to be nothing more than a form. Not, and I want to tell you how you get there. I just want to tell you how you get there. You get there by not cultivating a relationship with the Lord for yourself. Because the only way to be detailed is by having a relationship with the Lord for yourself, that He comes and creates these things in you, because nobody else can do it. And the only thing left without it, the only thing left without it, is the form of it. As long as you're still willing to say, "I want to be a part of this, I want to go sit among them, I want to sing, I want to be one of them," the only thing left without the relationship with the Lord is the form that belongs to it. And the Lord never intended for us. The whole world has promoted this. The whole religious world has permitted this. Catholicism promoted it. The Protestant era promoted it. They all promoted it. Come and be a part of a herd. Come and be a part of a form. If you're, as long as you're a part of the form, or so-called church name on the church book, if you're, as long as you're a part of this organization, then you're home free. That's a lie. That's not salvation. Salvation is an experience with the Lord in your own soul, your own life. And I know what the Lord wants to create in you. I know what He wants to do. He don't want to leave you in sin. He don't want to leave you in a destructive life. He don't want to leave you in the mire and the pits of sin. He don't want to do that. He wants to lift you above that and allow you to live on a highway, a plane above this old world, and give you the power to be able to do it. He wants you to have in your heart and life the love of God. That's a challenge. When life comes along, it's a challenge to that. And it'll show, these things will show up every time there's just a form. it'll show up. And I have to say, this isn't real anything. This is a shiny vehicle, and you open the hood and there's not a motor in there. That's pretty. That's fine if you like cars, but it don't get you anywhere. It's just the form of it. It's just an image. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't get you anywhere. What's going to get us where we're going is to cultivate that relationship with the Lord so that the details can be started to be created in my life. And what the preaching about, the edifying of the saints, it isn't that we can do it. We can't do it. We only preach Christ. He can do it. That's what we're preaching to you today. I ain't preaching to you that we can get together and do this. We can't. But the Lord can do it. And if you want more than the form, you're going to have to give yourself to that one that can do it. And He's going to start detailing your life. And oh, is He a master? Is the Lord the master of creating things in our lives? Because we don't know how, but the Lord has got the whole universe at His disposal to cause you and I to have the image that He wants us to have. And He can use, I'm going to tell you, we've had some challenging moments. A couple years ago, my wife loves this one. A couple years ago, it was my fault. But I didn't do it purposely, it was my fault. We started getting fleas. They make a lot of stuff to get rid of fleas. I'm going to tell you what, them pesky little varmints really started getting on us. The children were eat up in the legs. It was biting them. We bought spray, bombs, all kinds of things. Before I actually realized what had happened, I had part of my patio that I'd been intending to cement off. It was just a section that hadn't been. It was just gravel. And we had a cat. And the cat got there, and the gravels, and we fed the cat there with another problem. And the gravels themselves were moist, and the cat lived there for a while. And then it was like a Super 8 hotel for fleas out there. I didn't realize that I was actually had a perfect breeding area, perfect place for fleas. And you could walk on a patio sometimes and just look down and you just see them hopping up on you. I bleached, I sprayed, I donned dishwashing, everything that they said to try to get rid of them. I'm going to tell you, after a while, we had to start praying. It got really, I'm saying for grace that's much to get rid of them, but my wife was praying, Lord help us get rid of these fleas. Every one of these fleas. Well, finally the Lord helps us to realize what the whole thing is, and I said, I'll take care of it, and they don't live under concrete well. So I went ahead and done my work and got it done. We got ended up and no more flea problems. But I'm going to tell you, the flea is in God's great arsenal to get details in your life. If God wants to use those kind of things, He can use fleas, hornets, He can use all the substance He has. He can sunburn you with His sun, and He can make it rain on you all day. God can make it cloudy, cold. God can work with that. God can make God can make a man curse you across the road. So allow somebody to get upset with you going down the highway. I had a truck come right off my tire come right off my truck one day. Well, you say, well, blame that on God when I didn't tighten the lugs. Well, okay, but the incidents has happened, and God's got everything at His disposal. And He's a good God, folks. He's a good God. And if you don't want just a form, you submit to that one that's able to make details in your life, and He'll start engraving on you. And it don't always feel good. Sometimes it feels good. Sometimes it's a soothing thing. But a lot of times, it's a storm. It's a problem. It's an illness. It's something that makes you think. I want the Lord to engrave in my life. I want the details. It's just that I'm a coward sometimes, and I just don't want to brace up to some things sometimes. But I remember a time, and I was, I'll be honest with you, I knew I was there. I'm going around doing things wrong or upsetting people or none of that stuff. I was just lax. I was just lax, and I knew I was lax. And there used to be a Christian bookstore thing over in Elkins, close to where we live, and I pulled in there, and it was closed. So when I wanted to pull out, I just pulled my wheel around like that, and I knocked a gas meter plumb off the gas. There was a pipe that big around, and it went off like a jet engine, that gas coming out of there. And I'm going to tell you, I started panicking, and there wasn't hardly nobody around. I went trying to run, call somebody, this gas going out there, and I was glad my car didn't get stuck on it. That old car would have blew that thing plumb up, I'm sure. And I went running, and finally, I want to tell you how I felt. Totally helpless. I was totally helpless. I could not control my situation. And you know, when this incident was all over, finally I got somebody, they called, and it was kind of an embarrassing humiliation at that point. Then all of a sudden I hear the sirens go off in Elkins. It was gas thing, and you're coming, all the fire department, woo, all these sirens, and I'm, oh my, just a little thing, like I felt so out of control. When they come up there, and it was pretty neat, a guy comes up there and he has this little red toolbox, and he gets out of the fire truck, and he walks over there just nonchalantly like, and he walks over there and he opens it up real easy like, and he takes out a big wooden plug and a hammer. It's all he had in the toolbox. And he come over there and put it on it and bam! And stop that gas. That's the way you do it. Well, until we get it shut off, they called the gas company. But I was out of control. And you know what it made me do? It was in God's arsenal. It detailed me. It detailed me. It made me be not so independent in my thinking. Lord, if that can happen, anything can happen. Lord, I feel totally like I really need you to help me make it through this stuff. Isn't that what the Lord wants of us? He wants to work in our lives with these things. So there's all kind of details, and when people look at us, I mean, I know it's not all about that, but we're representing the Lord. What are we putting out there? What is the details? Is a grumpy spirit the best I can do? Is that what the Lord wants to detail in my life? Is an old grumpy spirit? Or an old fault-finding spirit? Is that all the Lord can do? Or am I denying the power that can correct that? Can the Lord help me with those dispositions? Do I have to be the guy who gets mad and throws the hammer, kicks the dog, tears the stuff up because it didn't go right? Do I have to be that way? Is that the detail that's there? Surely that one that has that power can make a better detail than that. So when I'm not just a form of something because you see me fold my hands when I come to service. I'm so pious. I wouldn't miss service. I go to service every time I get a chance. I'm staying at home. I mean, there's times that it don't work. But I go to service when I can. I do those things. That's just part of it. You know you can do all that and go to hell. Folks, you can. You can do all that and never be made right inside you. It's just a form. Lord, help start putting some details on there what it means to be a person of God. What it really means to be able to stand in adversity. What it really means to have faith. You have faith? The challenge we had the other day of resolve. Think about the three Hebrew children and the king coming and saying, "This is the end, boys. Bow or you're done." We're not even careful to answer this. What a detail of a person's life. You believe that God, what God can deliver you? Our God? You want a detail of confidence and assurance in God? Don't make no difference if He does or not. He's got a better place for us. Wow. Wow, what a detail of somebody that really, really believes. I don't have to back off of this. My God's put a detail in my life. And the detail is that I trust Him and believe in Him. And He's able. He's an able God. And He can do it. And so what the world looks on and sees of us, and we're promoting the Lord, are we showing the details of Christ in our lives? We have a discussion in our nation today about what marriage is. No discussion with me. The Bible's clear about that too. But I'll tell you this. We do more damage to it than the world does when we don't do it right. Because we have the form. We have the saying. We have a God that should be making it right. Detailing it right. Right? Should be. When we, I will tell you, when you make the kind of claims that we make, it hurts more when we don't get along in our congregations and in our people. Because we claim that there's a God that corrects those things. We got a God that can do it for us. And so, and He can. Folks, He can. Thank God that He can. And God, and He can put the details that we lack in our lives so that we can be represented. No, you ain't going to say that. You ain't going to. I say it was a pie cut three ways. Maybe. I don't know what else, but it don't look like no bicycle wheel. Maybe we don't look like Christians either. With just a spoke here or there. Well, I got this, Grace. I really learned how to behave myself in public. That's a spoke anyway. That's one good thing. I didn't used to. So I do it now. So I got somewhere. She's ugly everywhere else. Don't shine out very good. The Lord wants to detail it till it can be seen. And it's not a pretense. It's more than a form. It's the reality of it. Very familiar scripture in Galatians. That gift was used already. Galatians 5 gives a list of details of what to be and not to be. 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. It's talking about details, and they're not good ones. Bad details. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, here they're detailed out. They're manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There's all such likes. There's a lot of things that fit in the cracks and the gray areas and all those things that are of the flesh, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But listen to these details. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what the Lord wants to engrave into our hearts. Okay? And I want to leave you with this definition. I use it most everywhere I go, and I'll use it a lot. I'm not saying it's the only one. Maybe not even the best one. But it is a good one for me. Love is not an emotional, feel-good feeling that's all you have, and when it's gone, it's gone. If that's all love is, it's puny. Love is more than that. Love is better described by value. And then it means that I put worth to you. You are valuable to God. It don't mean there has to be feelings. It means that it works off of the value that's placed on you. And when I love you, I will put value on you. And you know what? What you say or how you behave to me does not diminish your value. You're valuable to me. Souls are valuable to me. People are valuable to me. I don't want to diminish the value of them. They don't diminish into my eyes the value that they have. They may be sinners, they may be adulterers, they may be all these hideous things, but they still are valuable. And if you look at that like that, God wants to give us that in our hearts. That my wife, husbands, love your wife. Okay? So that means that if we get in, can I say this? If it would be by chance it could happen, that me and her wouldn't see things eye to eye. What difference does that make about how valuable she is? It doesn't matter. She is my wife. She is the most valuable. I don't want to see her diminished, hurt, or even ruffled, because I got to live with her. I don't want her ruffled. She is valuable. Part of my duty is that she goes to heaven. Lord, help me that I would devalue her. When you have to think you have to have a romantic, Western, modern-day American feelings of romance to be in love, wrong. It's about a value that we hold. When you have the love of God set abroad in your heart, it means that you've been chiseled on. It means God has worked in your life to give you the same sense of value towards people as He has. You want to know how much He valued you? He died on a cross. He suffered and died because you're worth something to Him. How much can you even put a value to that? The value that we are to Him is beyond measure. And He proved it by dying on the cross. And what He wants to etch, the details of us that we can reach the world with, is that we value them. We try to reach the world and we don't value them. How's that going to get it? You go in with a form and all you want to get them to is some kind of a dead, dry religious system. No, you're etched with that in your heart. And they'll know it. They'll know it when they feel that they're valuable to you. Because you know what? If it's valuable, you won't get rid of it. You won't throw it away and you won't lose it. You hang on to it when it's worth something. And do you know by opposite? Hate in the Scriptures isn't by this despising abhorrence of something like we think it is. You know, in the Scriptures, the word hate simply means to devalue. You hate or despise something when you make it no value. The children of Israel despised the Canaan land. Well, they didn't sit around gritting their teeth and despise in a modern form of it. They just didn't value it enough to go get it. And the term was despise it. So what the Lord wants to detail us with, folks, He wants to detail us with love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Peace. I want to tell you, folks, we claim to have something. Lord, make it to be so. Don't let me just be the form and my whole life stays in turmoil. I've got a God to believe in that ought to bring peace into my life. And He wants to etch it on us. He wants one of the details of our life to be. It doesn't mean that there's not the garden experiences. It doesn't mean that they're in storms. It doesn't mean that. It means that underlying all of it, there is something I can have peace with. It's all right, folks. No matter what happens, it's okay. I know my God is able. Underneath it all is that I can rest in the circumstances because... Do you do that? Well, maybe sometimes the details aren't as clear as they should be, but Lord, help us to be clear here. Love, peace, He wants to etch that on His people. When we go out to say, we got something for you that you can't get in the world, well, what? We can go make an organization. We can do that. You have peace in your life? Lord, help us. Long-suffering, we've already mentioned it. He wants us to be detailed with long-suffering. Long-suffering for what? Well, I think long-suffering for one another. I think long-suffering in situations that we need the dross burn out. You're just going to have to hang in there, brother. You're just going to have to hang in there and believe that the Lord's doing something with you because you can't get out. You can kick and struggle and all that. That's, as soon as you quit, you're not long-suffering anymore. How long's long-suffering? Well, there couldn't be a limit on it. You'd stop, so you got to get there until it's done. Long-suffering. Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. Gentleness. Lord, help us. Gentleness. Brother Tony could attest to this. Brother Jim always was a man. He always considered himself not a gentle person. He was a very gentle person to me, but he had some rough times in his life, and there was things, and he was a pretty hard man. After he got saved, he longed to be gentle. I remember preaching before, and Brother Jim, preaching about gentleness, Brother Jim would go pray and just cry and want to be gentle. Well, I thought he was the gentlest one up there, pretty much. He never was seen violent or nothing like that. He definitely was more gentle than I was. He'd go up there and, well, you better pray for me, because you're more gentle than I am. But that wasn't it. He had been hard in his life, and he still felt that, and he longed to be gentle. He wanted to be gentle, and the Lord wanted to etch it in his life. He wanted to detail in him to be gentle. And he fought for it, and I think he won it. I think he was a gentle person. God wants those details in our life. We should want them too. To be gentle people. We're never going to win anything by being the other way. That's not what it's about. The Lord was gentle. And He wants to put that in us too. That we would be gentle. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is not law. Temperance. Are you in control? We live in a world that's tough. It really is. Don't get mad at me. I'm just saying. I'm just a messenger. It's just hard. We're inundated. We got a lot of food. And we eat a lot. And we eat too much. We be intemperate. Temperate means simply, basically, that you have the ability to control yourself. It's a gift. It's part of the Holy Ghost. It wants to etch it into you that you got the ability to control your life. That means I don't have to get angry and tell you off. Don't have to. I don't have to eat too much food today. I don't have to be what I ain't supposed to be. I don't have to be. Wait a minute. Well, with the exception of circumstances beyond control, we are fairly intelligent people, folks. And maybe you don't want to be on service on time. Maybe you don't want to go at all. Maybe there's a lot of things involved in it. But we are intelligent enough to know how many miles we are away and how early we have to leave and how quick, what time we have to get up to get our clothes on and what we have to do it and have time. And almost nobody in here holds it. Be honest. Nobody in here holds a job, a regular public job, and acts that way. I'm just saying that if that's an effect in there, the Lord wants to detail us that we control. And if you don't care, you're exempted. If you don't want to be there on time, it's fine. But I want to tell you, you can be because God made us that way. God made us to be able to do what we need to be able to do. And if I need to do it, I need to learn how to be able to control my own life. That's a simple thing. I can do this. I can do this. I don't have to eat all the cake. I can just have one piece. I don't have to eat it all. You understand what I'm saying? It's a part of what God wants us to... He wants to detail us. And you know why it's impressive? Because it takes divinity for it. It takes divinity for all of these things. And so when it's shown to the world, they say, there's something here. Because we don't do that naturally. All of these things. Some may have some may have others. But Lord help us. And we'll look at one scripture. I kind of let time get away. But one more scripture. It's in Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25:4 says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. And a lot of times those vessels would be given into the hands of that finer means a refiner, but they was also given to a man that would engrave them and make very beautiful artwork. Leaves, you've seen the artwork that they done. And ancient people, there were some very talented, gifted people then that did this beautiful work on it. But he started with something here. He started with removing the dross. If you remove the dross from the silver, then you can hand it to the one that can put the detail in it. But you got to take the dross out first. And do you know why it's so important? I know what we're thinking is that it's not going to shine right with dross in it. It's not. But there's a bigger reason why. Because the vessel is more for pretty, something pretty. It holds a function. You want to use it for something. It's got to carry something in it. It's got to have something in it. And do you know what the dross does? It makes it inferior. It makes it till it breaks easy. It won't hold up under pressures. So you get the dross out, not just for the shine. The shine is just the result of the dross being removed. But the reason you take it out is you don't want the bad vessel. You want a vessel that will hold up under the pressures of its labor, what it needs to do. You know why God wants to detail us? Oh, we'll shine. He wants us so we'll hold up. He wants us so we'll be the real thing. The real thing, not just the form. The form ain't going to get it. The real thing will. The real idea, the real thing of it is going to take us through the diseases of our lives, the cancers and the diabetes and all those things that attacks our life. That's going to take us through there still believing in God. The defining of that is going to take us through the hardest things when people come against us and us go right through. Being able to say, Lord, bless them anyhow. Jesus hung on the cross and looked down and said, Father, forgive them. And every one of us is charged with that too. That we're going to have to say, Father, forgive them. We're going to have to be detailed to do it. We're going to have to be a vessel that the dross is taken out of. Oh, it'll shine. It'll shine. But that's only the result of the dross being, the dross is took out so that it'll be a solid, steady, something that can't be moved. Something that's going to work. You don't just drop it and it breaks. No flaws in it. The Lord wants to do that with us. Folks, I'm going to tell you, details are so important. They're important in life. They're important in our work. I worked as a surveyor, and I want to tell you, details was it. You can't get by with details. We're talking about, it wasn't down degrees or minutes. We're talking seconds. It meant something. Details, you had to be detailed. You took very special care that you didn't transpose numbers. Too important. You're laying out something that might be worth millions and millions of dollars. You can't do it wrong. The details was so important. When we calibrated things, when our machines was right, everything was so important. And it is very important to us today. Mind the details. You pray for me.